I'm Sandra, and I'm just the professional your small business was looking for. But you didn't hire me because you didn't use LinkedIn Jobs. LinkedIn has professionals you can't find anywhere else, including those who aren't actively looking for a new job, but might be open to the perfect role, like me.
In a given month, over 70% of LinkedIn users don't visit other leading job sites. So if you're not looking on LinkedIn, you'll miss out on great candidates, like Sandra. Start hiring professionals like a professional. Post your free job on linkedin.com/people today.
If you're looking for plump lips that last, you need to know about Juvederm lip fillers. With Juvederm Volbella XC and Juvederm Ultra XC, your lip look, whether it's subtle or bold, can last up to one full year with optimal treatment and no additional maintenance. Find a licensed specialist and see if it's right for you at Juvederm.com today. That's Juvederm.com. Add fullness to lips in adults over 21 with Juvederm Volbella XC or Juvederm Ultra XC. Do not use if you have severe allergies or a history of severe allergic reactions, or if you're allergic to lidocaine or the proteins used in Juvederm. Tell your doctor if you have a history of scarring or taking medicines that decrease the body's immune response or that can prolong bleeding. Common side effects include injection site redness, swelling, pain, tenderness, firmness, lumps, bumps, bruising, discoloration, or itching. As with all fillers, there's a rare risk of unintentional injection into a blood vessel, which can cause vision abnormalities, blindness, stroke, temporary scabs, or scarring. For full, important safety information, visit Juvederm.com.
Everyone knows therapy is great for solving problems. But getting therapy has its own problems, too. Like finding the right therapist, fitting into their schedule, and, of course, the cost. Well, BetterHelp can solve those problems. It's totally online and built around your schedule. It's surprisingly affordable, too. Connect with a credentialed therapist by phone, video, or online chat, all from the comfort of your home. Visit BetterHelp.com to learn more and save 10% on your first month. That's BetterHelp, H-E-L-P.
Okay. Come through, queen. I wanna see ya. Come through, queen.
Hi, everyone. It's Dan.
And Brendan.
And this is Come Through Queen.
Honey, that's a workhorse.
Yeah. Hey, Brendan.
Hello, Daniel. What is going on?
There's actually a lot going on. We've got news to chat about. I think first and foremost, we need to get to the Bethany TV deal announcement, or the end of the announcement, really.
I cannot believe, but I can believe.
Okay, let me pick it up from People Magazine that is like pulling quotes from this announcement from her Just Be podcast. So she revealed on Tuesday's episode of her podcast that she ended a business deal with MGM Television and Mark Burnett. She said, "I left a very big, high seven-figure contract recently with my partners at MGM and Mark Burnett because I had a good relationship with them, but I didn't want to be locked up. I didn't want to have no freedom in my podcast. I didn't want to not be able to do something to date other people business-wise. And I was taking a shot. I don't know that I'll make that money back, but I didn't want to be shackled. So that's not about money. I've left money to make things happen in the future." Reps for Burnett and MGM did not respond to people's requests for comment. What do you think of... She's almost claiming that, like, she did this for the health of her podcast.
Here's the thing. We do a podcast that is released every week. She does a podcast that is released once a week as well. Mm-hmm. We both have full-time jobs.
Yes.
On top of that. And pretty, like, healthy and active social lives. And, like, we also, like, watch a lot of television, do a lot of other things. I think she could have handled both, right?
Yeah, I mean, I guess, like, I don't see how the podcast is going to make her the Mark Burnett MGM money.
The seven figures, yeah.
Yeah.
I got my check recently. It was not seven figures.
Oh, my God. You're sick. Yeah, I feel like the reception to Just Be to the big shot with Bethany was like not probably what anyone really expected.
Right, because I mean, I think everyone was saying what we were saying. There was literally no direction or structure to that show. It just made no sense.
Yeah. There was not even much of a buzz around it.
I know. The only people were talking about it were gay people on podcasts, literally.
Yeah. And I feel like a lot of what heads over to HBO / HBO Max is like the talk of the town. Like everyone's hooing and hollering about the mayor of Easttown.
I know. Everyone's talking about mayor. People are talking about hacks. People are talking about what else is on HBO Max?
I mean, Veneno was on HBO Max.
Veneno. People weren't really talking about It's a Sin in the way I wanted them to talk about it.
Yeah.
But yeah, it's like HBO Max is prestige TV.
The Flight Attendant.
It's like stuff that like is critically acclaimed, buzzed about. Yeah. But like the big shot with Bethany could have been that.
Yeah.
It could have been that if they hired a reality TV producer.
Which you would think like Mark Burnett would be a reality TV
producer. He is like famously like a really successful reality TV producer, but like no one was producing anything.
Yeah, I wonder if it was just like his name is attached, like he's part of it, but like I don't think he really had his hands on it.
Right.
You know? 'Cause
she probably wanted a lot. She probably demanded a lot of control in it.
Yeah.
And I mean like Bethany has a lot of experience in reality TV, obviously. And I think people gave her a lot of credit. There was like a rumor that she was like a shadow producer of Roni forever.
Mm.
And I think the big shot of Bethany kind of proves that Bethany wasn't producing Roni.
Yeah.
You know?
Yeah, good point.
So chances that we see Bethany and Dorinda walking hand in hand back to Roni together next season.
I mean, last time something like this happened in terms of Bethany's talk show getting canceled, her next hop, skip, and a jump was right back over the Brooklyn Bridge to Roni.
She came sniffing back. Dream scenario. And hear me out.
Okay.
Ramona, Lou, Sonia, Ebony, and Leah and Brashan are back in the Hamptons at Ramona's house.
Okay.
Ramona announces that a couple of her girlfriends are coming
over. Stop.
The car pulls up. Bethany and Dorinda get out of the car together with all their luggage, and they walk arm's length into the house to everyone's surprise.
So we were like sidebarring about this earlier today. Like Leah and Bethany, I feel like will set each other and the house they are in on fire.
I know. If Leah and Heather is this like explosive and catatonic.
Yeah.
Catastrophic. Heads will literally roll in the streets of the Hamptons.
Yeah.
If it's Leah versus Bethany.
Yeah. Yeah. I don't see how they could even be in the same room together.
I know. Even though like, didn't Bethany suggest Leah for the show?
Yeah. But I think that was her wearing her producer hat, you know?
Which, not a very good producer. Just kidding. I mean, jury's out on Leah, but...
Yeah, sure.
Who knows?
Yeah, I mean, this is like a time for change. Let's see what comes of this. I think it's also like good timing too, because we're far out from picking up the cameras for the next season.
I know, but think about it. Bethany, Dorinda, BD, Brendan Davis.
Think about it, yeah.
They can go on Below Deck.
No, let's not wander into that territory. I'm good. Okay. We have other Housewives filming stuff to discuss.
There's a lot of exciting filming started. And here's what we're not going to do. Because of the Come Through Queen curse, we're not going to pre-stan anything that's happening.
Oh, no. Never stan. Gently at most.
Especially never pre-stan.
Yeah, don't pre-stan. But I think we can stand the fact that Ronj, which resumed filming for the next season this week, is breaking a record in terms of going 4 seasons with the main cast undisturbed, unchanged.
Well, allegedly. Rumor has it.
At most, we're getting a new friend through possibly Dolores.
Mm-hmm.
What's your vibe? What's your take?
Could this new person be holding a tomato?
No, I think it's like a friend situation.
Do we know this definitively, or are you just reading tweets?
You know, I'm reading tweets, but like, I think reading tweets is enough.
Okay. Okay.
Yeah,
okay.
Yeah.
I'll believe you until I prove you wrong down the line. I'm excited about this. I think the cast is perfect.
Yeah.
I mean, we need some like switcheroo going on. Like, we need Teresa and Jackie to at least fake a friendship for a little bit.
Mm. What if they went golfing this week?
What if they went golfing? Yeah. I mean, the only thing that worries me is that at the end of the season, there were clearly two competing camps or sides.
Yeah.
And I don't necessarily love when it falls to that. I don't love like the blondes versus the brunettes. I don't love the talls versus the smalls. It works for a little bit. It doesn't work for a long time.
Yeah.
So they need to switch it up.
Yeah. And the word on the street is that Joey Gorga had an event and the other men were involved with the exception of Bill Aiden.
Of who?
Bill Aiden.
Yeah. Interesting. We also need to get them to spend a lot of time down the shore this year.
Yeah. I mean, it makes sense. We had fun down the shore last year. We had fun. We're going to have fun down the shore this year. But I don't want to like get stuck in a rut in terms of like always doing the same thing. Like I do want to like wake up on Christmas morning again.
Oh, sure, sure, sure. Maybe they do Christmas in July to ease us into it this year.
Okay. Yeah.
I will say, I would like to see them go on a nice trip this year. And I think with things opening up with COVID, by the end of the summer, I think we'll be able to go somewhere nice.
Yeah, I do feel like these shows filming now have a shot at not being so like dreary with like the cloud of COVID over us so much.
Mm-hmm, for sure.
Yeah. But there's not a cloud in the sky down in Miami.
Okay, yes. There's not a cloud in the sky down in Miami. And the rumor on the streets, and the rumor's kind of been proved by some social media posts of people together.
Yeah.
The Real Housewives of Miami reboot has started filming officially. And a part of the cast are Adriana, Larsa, Alexia, and Lisa returning. And apparently there's five other women in the mix that they're like testing on various like levels.
Sure. And I think that makes a lot of sense for this situation, because I think you can like test a lot of people when you are starting fresh. And this is almost like a Salt Lake City situation where like we're not continuing from another season.
Right. But we'll have some familiar faces to like look back on.
Yeah. We'll have familiar faces, but it's not like, oh, like whatever Alexia or Adriana's plots were on their last season is not relevant to what is going on right now.
I'm almost excited for the fact that we're going to be like, it's been 7 years or whatever. And like I can already see like Alexia like narrating that it's been 7 years and like so much has changed in our lives and yada, yada, yada.
Yeah.
We lost Mama Elsa. I think we do need Marisol in there as a friend of.
Yeah. Or just at the very least a one episode cameo.
Yeah. But we need the flashbacks of Mama Elsa.
Sure.
Which I guess could come through other people, but it makes most sense to come through Marisol.
Mm-hmm.
I'm excited. If you haven't seen Real Housewives of Miami, if you're like new to Housewives, I think it's all in Peacock now. So go check it out. Seasons 2 and 3 are high art.
Yeah. I feel like you could probably jump in with season 2, and I'm sure there's probably like a little recap catch you up at the very beginning of season 2.
Yeah. The only reason I would say like watch season 1 is because we are going to be back with Larsa. So it's like interesting to see how far she has come since then, though she's a public figure already. So it's like, you might already know about her. You might've seen her on Selling Sunset.
Keeping up. Yeah.
I haven't watched Keeping Up in a while. I've been kind of watching this final season.
Mm-hmm.
It's gotten so slow.
Yeah.
And so boring in a way that's like, I cannot believe.
Well, I think they're going to pick it up a little bit with Andy Cohen next week, maybe, or the week
after.
They
just released the trailer for the reunion, which actually looks really good, and I'm really excited to watch.
Yeah.
But it's like, I swear, every episode someone's like, Chris's Palm Springs house has really become this family's refuge. And it's like, I know, you told me about that last week. Please. And they got this house in Malibu for no reason, because okay. they all live on like these huge estates, but sure. they need this other huge estate because it's COVID. It's like, I was living in a 3-bedroom apartment with no outside air, without no outside space, in a 6-floor walk up in Hell's Kitchen during COVID. I don't want to like see you having to go to Malibu when you've got a fucking huge house in Calabasas.
Yeah.
I'm sorry.
Yeah. So yeah, I mean, that's Miami. We're going to keep our eyes on that. And you read some Reddit rumors on Salt Lake City.
So I love Reddit. I never post in Reddit, but I love reading through the threads.
Okay.
And one thread, someone posted a rumor, unsubstantiated. It's like a Twitter rumor, or
a fan fiction.
But it's a good idea if it's not actually true. Rumor is the producers of Real Housewives of Salt Lake City are planning on filming season 3 as season 2 is airing, so they don't miss any of the Jen Shah like legal drama.
Yeah, I mean, Jen Shah could be like behind bars before we get a chance for season 3.
I know. So I think this is a good idea, but it does have its risks, because we did this in New Jersey.
Yes.
Between seasons, or season 4 started filming while season 3 was airing.
Yep.
And the season 3 reunion, Jacqueline and Loretta didn't show up because one of the biggest fights of the season 4 happened the night before season 3's reunion was filming, which is wild.
Yeah.
It's like, don't y'all need to get to sleep before the reunion? That would never happen now. That kind of situation.
Well, I mean, I think they learned from that in terms of like, okay, even though we want to like milk the cow while like we have her, like you can't... How do you like film and watch the episodes, and now you're getting angry about something that's like on an episode of television? So then how are you going to like make a new episode of television that's just reacting to what you just watched?
Right, exactly. So I think it's a good idea for this special circumstance with Jen Shah, because we need just to get as much footage in and like see what happens.
If I remember correctly, they were saying, was it Salt Lake City's coming back in the fall?
That would make sense, because they've been filming.
So, I mean, they could, and I think filming wrapped like a little while ago, too. Like,
oh, it's already over?
Yeah, like at least a month ago.
Interesting.
There was a wrap party. So I think they could even like film this next season. Like, it could be wrapping just as season 2 is about to start airing.
Oh, that's weirder, but it makes sense. So we're not getting the weird TV situation.
Yeah.
But then it's like season 2 reunion. We're talking about things that happened so long ago.
Yeah. I don't know. How are they going to jump?
This is like your problem with Winter House filming and then Summer House starting to shoot eventually.
Unless they film a reunion for season 2 before picking up cameras for season 3.
Right. I'm that like math woman.
Yes.
GIF right now.
and I'm like Charlie Day in Always Sunny in Philadelphia with like the board behind him.
Can you believe that, how long that show's been on?
I know, like 20 years or something.
I remember being in college and like some guy I was like hooking up with, we were watching that. It was like Netflix and chill situation before Netflix. And we were watching
it. It was
that.
FX and chill.
Yeah, it was like FX and chill. It was like DVDs and chill. And I remember giving him some weird excuse of why I couldn't have sex with him that night. Oh, anyways, wow. I digress. I hope he doesn't listen to this.
Jesus Christ. Okay. I think that's good for our rumor roundup, except for the fact that like Twitter has been abuzz, totally unsubstantiated, about like a Dubrow Tamra comeback on OC.
I know. These are the tweets that just like pop up and like make people start to believe stuff. And like, you know, it's like, it's funny hearing you bring up Heather Dubrow on this podcast, because I'm a part of her world.
I know. So what can you tell us as a member of the world?
As a member of her world, she hasn't talked about that yet on the podcast, which is released twice a week, but on Thursday and Friday.
Twice a week.
But on Thursday and Friday. So it's 2 days in a row, which is weird.
So like, she can't be talking about what she did on like Thursday
Well, sometimes she's like, did I tell you all about this? And she's one of those podcasts where she can just talk about herself.
Okay.
And her rich life. And it's like fascinating to me.
Yeah. No, but I think she's savvy enough to not talk about this until she's allowed to talk about it.
I know. It's so fun to think about, though, because it's like, are we going to be in a world where...
DeBro's world.
Are we going to be in DeBro's world where it's like Heather DeBro, then Gina, whose entire house with like however many kids she has can fit probably into Heather's living room, if we're being honest.
In the portico share.
In the portico share. Which, like, if you have not watched the Heather DeBro house tour, please pause this and go watch the entire thing.
No, stop.
My favorite is the laundry / gift wrapping room.
Mm, okay, okay.
Wow. I could talk about her for hours. I could do a podcast about Heather and her podcast.
You should do like a recap podcast. Like recapping the two weekly episodes into one episode. I think
she would like get a restraining order against me.
No. She loves her fans. Okay, let's get to our programs this week. Once again, two shows, but let's
chat. A lot going on.
New York, we're picking up, I think, in the perfect spot in terms of like where our conversation left off about New York, where mm-hmm. you were saying like, come on, like somebody get up and like chase after Ebony.
Right. Exactly.
And that did occur.
And they did, but they didn't chase her all the way home. They only chased her to the gate.
Yeah, but I thought like Heather and Sonia had like a good conversation with her at the gate.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, for sure. I mean, Heather was okay until she got bad this episode. Oh, yeah.
I mean, this, what, like, we have ridden the Ramona coaster a few times. This was, like, the Heather coaster.
It really was. So, they're at the gate, like, trying to make sure she's okay before she gets in her Uber. And, like, that's a nice conversation. Then they go inside, and the nude guy is still there.
Oh, yeah. He's ready. See... He wants to be on multiple episodes of this program.
I think he wants an apple.
Yes.
The way he was like responding to Heather explaining to Lou why Lou's behavior was wrong. He was like active listening. He was nodding. He was engaging. He suddenly got glasses and a blazer, which I thought was an interesting look.
Oh, I thought he like started with glasses when we met him. Or maybe I'm
maybe he did, but he like put them back on after the nude.
I was keeping my eyes on him because like, you know, there was parts where he's like nodding and like making sounds with Heather. And then there were parts where like Lou was saying stupid shit where he was like nodding and agreeing with her as well.
I think he was just nodding along with everyone.
Okay. Yeah. Yeah. So, I mean, this is like the journey on the Heather coaster where I was like, oh, like, I'm glad she's here because otherwise Lou would not have been talking about this.
Right. Like, Sonia was doing a pretty good job in the moment with Ebony, but I don't think Sonia would have gone out of her way to like kind of explain exactly what was going on. So I agree with you at that point.
Yes.
I was like, okay, we're getting somewhere.
Yeah.
With Heather.
And it was interesting seeing Victoria chime in on the conversation.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah. Because, like, she was clearly embarrassed about her mom, I think, in this moment.
Right, for sure.
Yeah.
And Victoria, then, Victoria.
And then, like, Ramona's just, like, on a completely different planet.
Ramona's happy she's not the target, which someone brings up later in the episode.
Oh, yeah. It's like, but for the grace of God, goes Lou.
When Lou gets stubborn in this way, it's like a demon comes from like her gut.
It's like vicious.
And like takes over her like body in a way that like you, it only happens every once in a while.
Yeah, very rare. It's like not a common, it's not like a every other episode thing. It's like a once every other season maybe.
Yeah, but like this was bad. And she's like not even, she's not even trying to understand where Ebony's coming from at this point. She's just, she only cares about herself.
Yeah, which is interesting because like how she's acting. It's like funny that the conversation is about her calling Ebony angry because like she is just like seething.
I know.
Yeah.
I want Lisa Rinna to like sit at that table and say, oh, oof, you're angry.
Yeah. But between the gate and the kitchen table, like, what a surprise from Sonia.
I know. I think that was, like, kind of the headline from yes. the episode for a lot of people. It's, like, everyone is surprised that Sonia's, like, pretty good at this. Because we view Sonia as, like, living in her, like, own world in that weird mansion or, like, on a cleanse somewhere. Not really, like, understanding or, like, talking to people in that way.
Yeah.
But
I mean, it was almost surprising by how, like, consistent through this episode she was managing to, like, say the right thing. Because, like, mm-hmm. usually it's like, oh, a broken clock is right twice in a day, you know? But, like,
right.
Which could have been the case. But, like, she seemed to, like, be navigating this pretty well.
Yeah, and it's also kind of surprising given, like, two episodes ago where she was as far as, like, when they went to the winery and, like,
oh my God.
Her behavior at that dinner and, like, all the, like, yelling and freaking out.
Well, two episodes ago I was like, oh man, like, do we need Sonia anymore? And then this week it's like, yes, we need Sonia.
Yes, we need her.
Okay, so we go back home and it's crazy, like, how much we're getting. And I've seen people, like, complaining about this, but, like, I'm good with it in terms of how much we're getting in one episode over the course of, like, this long weekend trip.
Mm-hmm.
Like, do you not like it or do you like it?
I like it. People are I'm sorry. People just, like, love to run their mouths. Like, it's like people are saying Roni's over. And I'm like, I'm actually, like, I think that it's interesting. They're yeah. having interesting conversations. Interesting things are happening. I know it's, like, it's kind of, like, it's awful the way Ebony's being treated and, like, yeah. what goes down in this episode. But I think Roni's just as interesting as Beverly Hills right now. I don't know.
Yeah. I mean, you know, I understand the idea of, like, I'm watching this as, like, a white person. So, like, mm-hmm. You know, I find it interesting, the conversations that are going on, but I could see how watching this, like, as a black person or a person of color, I'd be like, ugh, like, I don't even want right. to engage in this.
Right.
But I do think, like, I wonder what kind of effect this going on in Roni and stuff going on in other cities, what kind of effect that could have on the very broad Bravo audience.
Mm-hmm.
Like, is it possible it could have a positive effect for some people, or do we think that just not possible?
I have seen, so I do a lot of trolling online and like looking online about various things and like on Reddit and like Facebook groups. I have seen a couple people be like, actually, like, this conversation on this episode opened my eyes to like something I didn't realize. But then I've also seen like the typical
yeah.
eye-rolly Bravo audience that like I've talked about, like attends and actually buys tickets yeah. to like BravoCon, being like, I don't want to see this on my screen. I watch these shows for escapism, et cetera, et cetera.
Yeah.
And it's like the reality of the conversation though is like this past year, these are the conversations people have been having.
Yeah.
If you're going to hire women of color on these shows, and them being like the first woman of color on these shows,
yeah,
I think you're going to start having different kinds of conversations than you're used to seeing on New York or Beverly Hills. And I don't think that's a bad thing. I think it's a good thing.
Yeah. I mean, that kind of comes up when Ramona's like putzing around her room being like, oh, like, you know, I thought like, how would this be? I think she was talking to Sonia. Like, how would this be if, like, I was the one white woman in a room, like, with black women? How would that feel for me? And, like, I'm thinking about that for Ebony now. And then Ramona's like, and now I'm Googling. Like, she's Googling every episode. So, like, we know Ramona's not a great person. So it's interesting watching her navigate this.
Yeah, for sure. And, like, she's like weirdly attempting to be on her best behavior. Mm-hmm. I know something from the episode description for next week. I think stuff starts to bubble up between her and Ebony. And I'm interested to see like what that would be.
Sure. Okay, and then when we're back at the house, I thought this is where I was still on, like, feeling the Heather moment in terms of Heather pushing Luann that she needs to, like, have a conversation with Ebony, and she needs to apologize, and she needs to not, like, expect or demand an apology back.
Mm-hmm. It's very interesting. So there was a clip that was released of Heather before the show before the episode aired. Mm-hmm. And it was like her going into the room with Ebony and Leah and like talking to them and checking in with them. And they showed only the good parts of that conversation for the clip that was released ahead of the show. And then we saw in the episode, that's where Heather starts being like, well, I know black people and like Puffy and like, et cetera, et cetera.
Yeah.
And Ebony makes the point like Heather's like
over-familiarizing herself.
Yes, that was the wording. Yes.
Yeah. Did that take place after? I think that took place after the sit down.
No.
Oh, did it? Okay. Okay.
It was before.
Okay. Yeah. Oh, I'm thinking about the other thing that took place after the sit down.
Well, yeah, the first thing happened. That's why Heather's bag ended up being in Ebony or Leah's room.
Yes, 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 yes. Okay, okay. So then we get to the sit down.
Mm-hmm.
And, you know, it didn't turn out how I think anyone really hoped it would exactly. But at the same time, I don't think it went off the rails and was like a disaster too.
Mm-hmm.
You know?
I agree with that. Yeah, for sure.
Like, I think Lou gave something, but then kind of ruined it by, like, wanting something.
She wanted to, like... The thing about apologies is you don't give an apology expecting something.
Sure, yeah.
And that's the thing these women on these shows never learn.
Yeah.
And Lou expected an apology from Ebony, and it's like, for what?
Yeah.
Like, literally for what?
Yeah. And I mean, after such a tumultuous day, like the way that Ebony controlled the room and the conversation was just like amazing to watch.
Mm-hmm.
And very impressive. And this is where like things take a turn with Heather a little bit in terms of her jumping in a lot.
Yeah, and Leah's getting, like, pissed over and over again at Heather and, like, how she's jumping in.
Yeah.
Heather thinks that she's the only one who can explain this to anyone.
Mm-hmm.
She thinks she, I mean, like she accused Bethany of, actually, Heather thinks she knows it all.
Yeah. Well, that's what, like, Leah was saying later, how she's the authority on this and the authority on that and the authority on that. So I thought that was... funny. Later, Heather goes to go get her bag and smiling ear to ear said,
my God,
you're so articulate to Ebony.
It's like, I mean, like Leah said, it's like, that's like one of the like first things we know not to say.
Well, I feel like that whole you really had to like have your head in the sand a little bit to have missed that conversation during like the Obama era.
Right. Yeah.
Cause that's where I feel like that came into like a very broad conversation in the United States.
I mean, wasn't there like a famous clip of Biden saying that about him or like someone?
Well, probably. Yeah. But like the idea being that like you're saying that makes it sound like your expectation is that like, I can't string a sentence together.
Right. It's like you're surprised.
Yeah.
It's like, Heather, what are you doing?
And like, you're so articulate is not really something people just say to other people in general.
No one says that to white people.
Yeah.
At all.
Yeah. So that was pretty bad. And it's been shocking to see, like, it'd be so easy for, like, Heather to, like, say a peep about, like, you know, I watched that and I'm so embarrassed that I said mm-hmm. that. And like, I know better, and I know like the implications and insinuations mm-hmm. of such a thing. And she hasn't said anything.
I know.
Yeah.
It's bad. It's just like, it's bad all around. And like, bye Heather.
Yeah.
She stops filming after this weekend, so.
Yeah. But, I mean, then I do hop back on her team later when we're fishing.
Okay, but we're not team anyone. Let's remind ourselves
of
that. I
know, I'm not on a team. But, like, in just the conversation. Okay, so mm-hmm. we're fishing. And, like, I love Sonya just feeling herself with the fisherman.
I mean, Sonya likes to fish, and I love that for her.
Yeah, she's thinking she caught something, and it being the bait on the hook.
Mm-hmm.
But we sit down after Leah and Lou were hula hooping and the rest of the gals were fishing. We sit down for a little meal.
Wait, one thing I don't want to skip over before we get to all that. There were two moments where Ebony pulled Sonya aside in like a really beautiful, nice way and basically was like, I think you're awesome. I think you're like an incredible girl. You're totally amazing. And I think you don't get your due in this group. And then it showed like all of the times that like these women have been like talked down to Sonya. And then Ebony decides she wants to bring Sonya to her friend who's a matchmaker who apparently is famous from like the challenge fame.
From Real World Brooklyn, one of my favorite seasons.
Real World. My old boss was on that series.
Yeah.
She was their boss at the LGBT center.
Yep. So Devin's a legend, and spoiler alert, we are going to see her on camera because like in the tease, like for the description for one of the future episodes, like it's like Ebony brings Sonya to her matchmaker friend.
Yeah. In Philadelphia, which is Sonya's second home. Because Quincy Adams went to college there and I think still lives there.
I feel like she's reporting from there.
Yeah. So I just thought that was a nice, like, little touch amid the chaos of this episode.
Yes. Okay, so we get to the little meal on the beach, and the conversation turns to voting and the election, like, around the corner.
So it's really fun that both in Beverly Hills and New York, we're kind of syncing up as far as timing.
Yeah.
And the election is around the corner on both, though election day was in this episode of Beverly Hills.
And will be in the next one for New York.
I can't believe we're getting another election night party.
I know, but like we know how this election night was just kind of like a shrug emoji.
I know.
I feel like Leah talking about like the 2016 election in interviews did not go over well. Mm-hmm. And then now here we are once again with 2020, like at our door.
Right.
And her talking points are just like not fantastic.
Mm-hmm.
And like, you know, something I like, you know, my cartwheel to the polls campaign in terms of you can't forget about the Supreme Court as much as you don't like either candidate. Like,
I know
the Supreme Court is such a thing that like the ramifications of who is the president then for a period of time is something we live with well outside of the 4 years, no matter how much you like or don't like that person.
Mm-hmm.
So cartwheel.
No, exactly. I mean, like I agree with you here. I think like Leah was being very stubborn in her thoughts and like, yeah, obviously like no politician's perfect, but it's like you wanted potentially like 4 more years of Trump and like a whole Supreme Court full of like conservative freakazoids.
Yeah, we'll have a 9-0 majority.
It's like, come on. So I think she was being really stubborn here and she was being like kind of childish, like, I don't even want to talk about it. And like, I'm going to like stomp my feet about it. And like, you're being a Karen about this. And it's like, actually not.
Yeah. I mean, I think like like, Leah, like, if this is just not your thing and you're not into it or and you're frustrated by it, I would just be like, you know, I can't even, like, I don't even want to talk about the election. You know?
Or be like, I'm going to vote, but, like, I don't, like, want to talk about it because I'm, like, stressed out about it or, like, whatever.
Yeah.
I think Ebony's time at Fox News came into play here and as far as, like, being able to deal with Leah, you know?
Mm-hmm. Okay.
And, like, being able to, like, take in the news that she's not voting and, like, not, like, freak the fuck out like Dorit.
Mm-hmm.
But couldn't be either of us, I don't think.
I mean, ultimately, the truth of the matter is, then, like, I'm just so pragmatic in terms of, like, okay, Leah, like, you're a resident of New York. I actually don't give a shit if you don't vote because, like, it's,
oh, sure.
It's not really going to change, the New York Electoral College, so.
Though local elections matter.
Of course, but, like, very few people pay attention to local elections. That then care. Oh, and so then who's, Ebony's hosting the election party.
Yeah, next week.
Which conveniently, once again, like, Ramona's like, I'm good.
Right.
Didn't she not go to Carol's election party?
Yeah, because she probably had, like, a Trump election
party.
Exactly. Do you remember the Trump-supporting lesbian who was at Carol's election party?
Yes.
That clip came up recently somewhere, and I was like, oh, yeah, I forgot. I wonder where she is.
But also remember how Ramona was partying with Donald Trump Jr., like, over the summer before this was filmed?
Yeah, of course, and she's, like, BFF with Kimberly Gill.
Oh, my God.
She's like reporting live from Mar-a-Lago probably right now. Chances are, like, at any given day, Ramona's at Mar-a-Lago.
Yeah.
And Lou too. I remember Lou early in the Trump administration was posting Snapchats from the bathroom at Mar-a-Lago.
Sure. Yeah. Jill Zarin was down there.
Jill Zarin went to the inauguration as a friend of the family.
Friend of the family, yes.
She's friends with what's her name? Marla Maples.
Yes. Okay. So we head back to the house. And we have a conversation that's not caught on film A between Heather and Ebony about what transpired on the beach.
Right. Where were the camera people?
I know. Like, they were busy filming Sonia, like, miming.
Where was, like, Sutton with a camera phone or something?
Yeah. But we're all getting ready for our talent show. I still really don't, like, understand what's going on. I do remember, like, when these pictures dropped of them, like, all dressed up in at Long Island, like,
of course I'm always stalking the filming of Roni.
Yeah, but, like, were they doing this to an audience-less crowd? Like, how exactly? I'm curious to see, like, how this goes down.
I'm pretty sure someone was DMing me saying he was there.
Yes, that sounds familiar.
Yeah, I need to find those DMs, like, tomorrow or something.
You need to slide into your own DMs.
It was a long pandemic, so, like, that was so long ago. Yeah, someone was DMing me being like, I was there. I have photos. Heather Holla's here.
Yeah, that's how we knew Heather Holla was, like,
she's filming in the limo.
Yeah. So Ebony tells Leah what Heather said to her on the one-on-one conversation.
Yeah, and then, like, Leah freaks the fuck out, and there's no way she's even going to, like, approach this conversation nicely with Heather because she hates Heather's guts for whatever reason. So it just ends up in, like, this, like, big screaming match. And usually Heather's pretty good at these kind of, like, she's usually pretty quick and good during these kind of situations, but Leah isn't trying to, like, be any sort of logical or, like, come down to earth at all.
Yeah.
So it just ends up in, like, screamy McDreamy, you know?
I mean, you could, like, see Heather's, like, mind leave her body when they're in the limo.
Oh, yeah.
And she's like,
she just,
I'm out of here.
Like, when she gets something thrown at her, I think is when she's like, oh, not for me anymore.
Yeah. Yeah. What a wild ride.
It's funny. One more thing about that, though, is, like, Leah was dressed in a Carrie costume.
Yeah.
And I feel like during the previews, like, during the trailer of the season, I did not notice that she was in a Carrie costume when they had, like, the moment where she calls Heather a Karen.
Oh, I realize it.
Oh.
Yeah.
Maybe I just have really bad eyesight.
Yeah. When was the last time you had your eyes checked?
I need to go soon, actually.
Yeah, yeah.
But my glasses are pretty good.
Yeah. No, I was surprised to learn that, like, my prescription had not changed since 2017 was the last time I went.
That's interesting, because I feel like they try to, like, make it a little worse every time.
Oh, well, like, I famously walk in saying, like, I am here for a prescription. I'm not buying the glasses. Like, I'm not here to buy glasses.
Oh.
Yeah. So then, like, they're not, like, it makes no difference to them.
Okay.
You know what I mean?
Yeah.
Yeah, so wow, Roni. What a trip. Let's head over to Beverly Hills, Lake Tahoe, baby.
We did 26 minutes on Roni, by the way. Let's get to Beverly Hills.
Wow. Okay. But I think like 26 minutes well spent.
Yeah, of course, of course, of course.
Yeah.
Beverly Hills, like, honestly, another, like, gem of an episode.
Especially because we were left with the tease of, like, wait, Sutton walked in on her naked? and the episode starts and, like, we're just waking up. We're just waking up. We're not picking up with that scene. So we're like, what happened? What are we doing?
Right, exactly.
So that was, like had me on the edge of my seat the whole episode.
Everyone kind of coming together in the morning, they're all so uncomfortable around each other in a way, like, I don't know, like, waking up in the morning.
Thinking so many things.
Like, normal humans are, like, a little more natural. You grab your coffee, like, you sit down, you're, like, more chill. They just all seem so awkward in the morning together.
Yeah, I mean, despite the chaos in Roni, like, I don't feel the uncomfortable energy in the air that I do quite feel here in Beverly Hills.
Right, for sure.
We're kind of, like, all moving about the house and going off in different directions in the morning.
Which I appreciate. So, like, Kyle's going to go put her feet in the hot tub with Erica or something. Rinna's going to go do yoga.
Yeah.
And then we get Crystal and Garcelle going over to, like, some coffee shop.
Yeah. I mean, that's, like, the main event to me.
Of course, yeah.
Yeah.
And I really, like, the two of them seem just, like, really natural together.
Yeah. Despite not really having scenes together at this point.
Yeah, exactly. And, like, the conversation just, like, kind of, like, flows really naturally. And it's, like, an interesting conversation.
Well, they seem to be two normal people.
Yeah, of course.
Yeah.
They're not, like, part of the Fox Force 5 or whatever.
Or Sutton.
Which, by the way, I listened to Dorit and Dorit on Teddy's.
Oh, yes, yes.
Teddy with the T's.
Yeah.
podcast or whatever. It's the audio is so bad.
Wow, we're putting them to shame, baby.
Yeah
Okay. It was interesting, like, watching Crystal kind of fill Garcelle in on that conversation that took place on the first night.
Yeah, I was, like, curious about that because there's been a full day in between.
Yeah.
And they're all these women are staying in the same house together. So it's, like, weird that, like, not everyone's filled in.
Yeah. Yeah. It's kind of like doing bottoms up. Like, not everyone's always filled in.
Not everyone's filled in. Yeah. Filled in. Wow.
Yeah. But, like, it seems like Garcelle has built enough of a relationship with Sutton at this point to not just be like, oh, fuck, like, fuck her, you know?
Right. I mean, like, they were definitely hanging out in between seasons. Yeah. I think they're each of each other's closest. Like, Sutton would consider Garcelle her closest friend on the show and Garcelle vice versa, probably.
Yeah.
Right?
Yeah. Very much Erica and Dorit are, like, fading into the background this whole trip.
Mm-hmm. Except Dorit, it's like, is she even there?
Well, Dorit, like, we're playing bocce ball and she's competitive. Okay.
I liked that little montage because I didn't realize how competitive she was.
Yeah. It makes me, like, appreciate a different side of Dorit.
Yeah. And you're, like, super competitive. So
exactly.
That's why you stand, even though, like, you're not really good at some of the games, you're Ooh. Still competitive.
Well, I think that is actually a good thing. Cause it's like, if you're only competitive at what you're good at, that's a little bit obnoxious because it's like, give it your all for everything, you know?
I know. Like, Jamie and I play all these games on the phone, and I'm not good at the basketball one, but I still like to play it.
Okay, that's good. That's a good thing.
And I'm still competitive at it.
Okay.
Because I can win every once in a while.
Yeah. Sometimes, like, a broken clock is right twice, as they say.
We just discovered the pool one. The pool one's so fun.
Wow. But then with Erica, it's like, there's nothing going on, but yet everything is going on. It's like, all eyes are on Erica, because we know what's to come.
I know. And they're, like, they're showing things they would never show about her. Like, they would never show just, like, a simple conversation of Garcelle asking her about Tom.
Mm-hmm.
But, of course they are, because everything is to come with Tom.
Okay. Why is she even saying any of this with what's to come in 4 days?
She has to keep up appearances, and she's not that close with Garcelle, so...
Yeah.
I mean, I kind of have a theory.
Oh, what's the theory?
This is jumping to the very end of the episode, but I don't care because we're talking about it now.
Okay.
But we find out at the end of the episode, we see Fox Force 5 get the text message from Erica.
Yeah.
We don't know who that, what group that text went to, but I might assume it's the whole group of women filming. I don't know.
No, no way.
But no, but here's my theory. The reason I think it's the entire group of women filming is because I think she might have told Fox Force 5 off camera ahead of time. So they were prepared.
Oh.
And then she told all the other women together. And then the Fox Force 5 was prepared to do some acting, an acting challenge.
Yes,
RuPaul's Drag Race.
I love an acting challenge.
At the end of this episode. And Garcelle isn't part of Fox Force 5, so she wasn't filled in. So that's why she's asking normal questions about Erica and her husband.
Wait, you think Fox Force 5 is filled in prior to the trip?
That is my conspiracy theory. Ooh. Yes. Because we're early in the season still. So wouldn't Erica tell her closest allies on the show?
Ooh.
Potentially.
Ahead of filming
and be like, this is going to come out while we're filming. I want you guys to be a part of this. And I'm not going to tell anyone else until when it drops.
Okay.
But please help me roll this out.
I am obsessed with this theory.
Thank you.
Wow. Because something's up in terms of like the cameras were not just conveniently on these women as they're looking at their phone.
Exactly. I mean, Dorit doing like the reaction shot, I was like, come on. At least Kyle proved her acting chops and why she's going to be in Halloween Kills or whatever.
Okay.
She was pretty good. Dorit was like, she was like, woo.
Stop. Wow, man, oh man. Okay, so like, it's like they're improvising with like these other actors who are not in on the joke. Like they're not in on the bottoms up.
That's my theory. That is my theory.
Yeah.
Don't sue me, Erica Jane. It's just all alleged.
No, no. I don't think we have to put alleged because there's no body, no crime here. Okay. Wow. I can't stop thinking about this. I think a quick segue is like not enough Kathy hijinks this episode, I would say.
I know, but like every time you like pan to her, I like to see her. I'm pretty sure at one point she was holding her mic pack in her hands.
Anything goes. I mean, she is like, it's funny. I feel like this past week between like last week's episode and this week, like the world cannot stop talking about Kathy Hilton.
I know. And we also, this is like the perfect example of you can't fully stand because like if you watch the Paris documentary or heard what happened in the Paris documentary, not a great
moment for
not her. A great story there.
Yeah. But like we can just like, I'm not standing her. I'm merely standing hijinks.
It's like, yeah, you watch a good comedy.
She's an actor amongst many actors here.
Sure.
Okay. So Like, how many Sutton, Crystal uncomfortable moments do we have this episode? Like 25?
Anytime they interact, it's like, and the one at the end of the episode, I was like, haven't we been through enough?
I feel like Alex McCord, like, there's been enough drama.
It's like, why, oh, why are you coming in here right now? Oh my God.
Okay, but even like the morning where, like, I think maybe Sutton's just like first walking into the room and she gives like Crystal an extra like energetic good morning.
Uh-huh.
Yeah.
And then the boat.
The boat. Well, like the Fox Force 5, like between riding the van to and from everywhere together, like sitting cheek to cheek on that boat. I like that. We got to break up the Fox Force 5.
I mean, it is like Mean Girls starring Rachel McAdams as Lisa Rinna.
We got Sutton sitting like on a lone chair with like Kathy, like not sitting cheek to cheek. She's like two over.
But then Erica does the thing, which like,
oh my God,
is like the meanest girl thing.
The Adrian Malouf. Like,
they start talking about Sutton from across the boat. And they're like, I think she's crying. And then they ask her if she's upset.
Yeah.
And she's like, no. But then she's wiping tears. And Kathy doesn't notice she's wiping tears. And Kathy is like, if somebody asked me that, I would start crying. And Sutton like plays it off as if she's not actually crying.
Yeah. Yeah.
Which is so interesting.
She just needs to whip out the roller and everything will be okay.
The roll ohm. Can. Oh my
God. I love a prop.
Not to bring Family Stone into this. But anytime, okay, ever since Crystal called.
Save it for the special in December.
No. When Crystal called Sutton ridiculous, and it reminded me of SJP going, I'm not a completely ridiculous person, Everett, or like whatever she said.
Yeah.
But then like Sutton's proving she's a ridiculous person by sitting there rolling her face while trying to have a conversation with Crystal, but Sutton's not actually saying anything to Crystal. It's like, what's your point, Sutton?
I mean, Sutton just wants Crystal to make Sutton feel okay.
Right. She wants Crystal to make her feel comfortable. And yeah. It's like, that's white fragility.
We're really seeing like a reenactment of like the whole Brandy Tiffany Moon scenario.
Yeah, for sure. For sure.
In terms of like Brandy was on her hind legs, like just being in the same room as Tiffany Moon, and like it's just all over the same thing again.
It's so uncomfortable. Oh, speaking of Tiffany Moon, her and Kathy Hilton were reenacting in the comments today.
I'll catch me in the comments, wherever Kathy Hilton is.
It was like Tiffany commented on like one of Bravo's posts and Kathy just responded with, how are you?
The one from this past week with her logged into Rick Hilton's iPad leaving comments was a touch iconic, I would say.
I think with like, it's much like RuPaul's Drag Race Untucked. If you're not reading Kathy Hilton's Instagram comments, you're only getting half the story.
For sure. For sure. Okay. Let's get off the boat. Let's get back to the house. I do love a nice house dinner.
Oh, I do too.
I'm not even talking about housewives. I like in real life too.
Oh, same. Like, when you're on a trip with people, like you don't have to go out every night.
Yeah, exactly. Like, let's luxuriate at home. Yeah, yeah, yeah.
My family, when we used to do these big beach trips, which we haven't done in a while because like a lot of like weddings and other stuff happened, we used to do teams for cooking. Mm. So like three or four people would be on a team each night.
Yeah.
And then it was a voting thing and there was a trophy that you could win if your team won. And my team won.
Wow. Well, you copy the team concept from Provincetown, which you've never joined us for, but we did cooking this was, teams then.
I think
as well.
This was pre P-Town, okay, bitch. Okay. Like, whatever. No, did y'all have a trophy? Do you not have a trophy?
There was no trophy, unfortunately.
Yeah, don't come for me.
Yeah. No, love cooking at home on a trip. Crystal, I thought the call was coming from inside the house, but then seemingly like she was just out and about wandering somewhere.
Yeah, she like went somewhere. Speaking of the call, there's another Reddit rumor. People were like, is the person on the phone actually Teddy Mellencamp?
On the phone with who?
Crystal.
Oh my God. I believe it.
It's literally a Reddit rumor, but I believe it too.
I believe it. Because she's friends with Teddy.
She's friends with Teddy. Teddy like suggested her for the show.
So it makes sense for, of all the people for Crystal to call, like call the woman that knows all these women.
Yeah, like you know this ridiculous person, Sutton.
And like know and knows like the circumstances of like filming and like what it's like. Brendan, you are just blowing my mind left and right tonight.
Well, that theory is not my own theory, but the other one was my theory.
The other one was originating from you. Wow. Mm-hmm. Just wait till like the rags pick it up.
I can't wait for Radar Online.
Yeah, yeah. To quote pick you. It up. Yeah. Okay. So she's not there at that dinner. Okay, fine. Gives us the opportunity for another great Garcelle taking down Lisa Rinna moment.
Oh, I love it.
I could use one of these at least like every other episode.
It's so good because Garcelle has a way of saying just a couple things.
Yeah.
And then letting Lisa walk into the mess.
Yes. She cannot help herself.
It's like Garcelle just like made a few choice comments at the right time. And all of a sudden we're hearing about like this like story about Harry Hamlin's friend who raped a woman. And Harry decided not to go visit him in prison. And that's somehow the same as Lisa Rinna deciding to go after Denise Richards.
Yeah, to not believe Denise. Man, oh man, like, did Lisa Rinna not workshop this scene before, like, coming to Tahoe? Like,
I think it was a surprise for the Fox Force 5. She didn't put it in the same thread where Erica was planning the divorce.
Like, she needs to consult Jackie Goldschneider for some analogy work, because, like, this was not an analogy.
It's like, Garcelle said it herself in her little confessional, being like, that's a story you should never tell ever again.
Yeah, yeah. Whew, man, oh man. Okay. And then, like, Lisa Rinna turns this all into jumping in the pool and then, like, carrying on, wanting everyone to go in the pool. And then, like,
like a toddler.
And then Garcelle, like, turning it back to, like you got to know when to stop. And Rinna being like, oh.
I know. And then Dorit and Erica like giving her high fives about that.
Wow.
That was a fun moment.
A fractured Fox Force 5. Yeah. Sutton jumping in. We do the little synchronized swimming.
Esther Williams?
Sure. Yeah.
That was also a reference on RuPaul's Drag Race when Katya did that one look.
Yeah, yeah. And then, like, we're, like, packing it up. Crystal sneaks back into the house like a teenager out after curfew. And
it really did feel like that because they're all older than her, too.
Yeah, and then, like, Erica catches her.
It was like, we caught you in the ring light, honey.
Yeah, yeah. Okay, one other... we're going to talk about Kyle and Crystal, but I want to just like give some kudos to Kyle for being a late night girl every night of this trip.
I never give kudos to Kyle, never. But I will give it to her for this because I am late night girl.
Yes.
On the trip.
Yes, you are.
So it's like, I don't want to go to sleep because I don't want to like miss out on like the things going on at night. Okay. And nothing fun happens in the morning. You're drinking coffee.
Okay. But we get the sit down with Crystal and Kyle. even though we did not see that scene, she did such a good job of like explaining how it went down that it felt so real to me.
Yeah. Oh, that's my worst nightmare.
Yeah. It almost feels like, and like our, when we first heard it, it sounded kind of like you're just like rolling around naked in your room.
Bed. But I thought it was like she was naked in bed.
Yeah. But instead it was like she like might have had a towel and was like startled by Sutton and like dropped it or something.
Mm-hmm.
Wow.
It sounded like she had like gotten out of the shower. She was like drying her hair while walking around her room, maybe like naked, which is like fine.
Yeah.
And Sutton just like burst in after knocking, sure, but still. And then like lingering, I think, is like the crime here.
Well, also being like, oh, like, what are you doing down there?
Yeah, like, I don't want to interrupt like whatever's going on in here or something like that. Which is a weird thing to say.
Yeah. But I'm sure it's also like coupled with like, we're filming a show and like, do you have a camera crew behind you? Like, and I'm naked.
Right. Yeah.
I think that's like a added thing that's not discussed, but like part of the feelings and thought process.
I'm sure they'll discuss it at the reunion.
Sure. Yeah. So then we then have that conversation and confrontation between Sutton and Crystal the next morning.
Yeah.
Which we kind of already touched on, but yeah.
Yeah. I mean, like, I kind of get what Kyle was saying. Like, it's been like 24 full hours since that happened. This didn't come up. Like, maybe it could have been discussed, but I also think that's like Kyle in I've been on this show for a decade mode. And like, I know to bring things up immediately so that we can like figure them out immediately and like move on or whatever.
Yeah. But we had like another example of something. Oh, like Crystal not having the conversation with Garcelle about what happened the first night. That happened like two days later. So it's kind of like, I don't know. Also, like, Crystal's had so many sit down one-on-one conversations with Sutton. I'm sure she didn't want to like have another one with her.
It's like so exhausting. If I were Crystal and Sutton walked into my room that morning, I'd be like, really?
Just leave me alone.
Like, leave me alone.
Yeah. Wow. Beverly Hills. So we already discussed the Erica thing, but the fact that those MFers did not give us a tease for next week, they know they got us.
I know. I bet you there's a tease on tonight's Watch What Happens Live, which we haven't watched yet because we're recording.
Yeah, we're recording. We're recording live instead. Okay, let's get to our Freak of the Week and One True Queen. Okay. I'm like the brainchild between both of these this week. So.
Yeah, so you just go and I'll comment.
Okay. The freak is, in a very loving way, Sonia Morgan. I mean, her social media strategy recently has just been very chaotic. We need to get like the interns back in the townhouse, give one of them the passwords. Because like Sonia will like quote tweet something, have a message about that quote tweet, and then do a few hashtags and then tag a bunch of accounts. And in this one, she says, thanks for always believing in me. Hashtag Roni, hashtag BravoTV.com. Tags come through Queen along with the likes of Chardonnay Gay, WWE, Hustler, Deadline, Pop Crave, who's, I believe, the first media outlet to call the election, Nina West, Cameron Westcott, and us. So
it's just such a wide variety of things because, like, Deadline is like a really well respected entertainment journalism site.
Yeah.
Hustler is, everyone knows Hustler.
Yes.
The WWE.
Yes.
Cameron Westcott, noted racist.
Yes.
Nina West, RuPaul's Drag Race queen.
But also like under fire for like her association with Nickelodeon right now.
Nickelodeon? Why?
Because she did like Nickelodeon Pride Month. I'm surprised this is not on your radar. Nickelodeon Pride Month.
No, I know about that, but like under fire from like conservatives?
Yeah.
Oh, okay. I was like, under fire from like us?
No.
And then Come Through Queen. Yeah. What a group.
Yeah, what a group. But so it's just like, it's just an honor to be included.
This isn't the first time we've been tagged by her, but it's not like she's tagging us in every single thing.
No. I mean, she definitely spreads the wealth, I would say.
She just does it in weird groups. They need to like really figure out that spreadsheet and like group the right things together.
Yeah, for sure. Okay, and our queen this week, just as we were going live, one Candace Stiller tweeted, "Oh, you guys, my album is done. It's been turned in and release dates are impending. I can't wait to give you all the deets." A few emojis, which I wonder, like, are they Taylor Swift clues? We got
Music, Moon, Saturn, spaceship. Alien Spaceship, Alien, Microphone, Drums, Violin, and what's that last one?
It looks like an urn, maybe?
Oh, maybe she's dying at the end of the season.
No. Coincidentally, Candace Stiller, I See You, came up on Daily Mix today as I was driving home. Did not skip. I think it was a sign. I'm ready for the album.
Is this your Daily Mix where it's like all the R&B stars and you think that like she fits in because she's an R&B star?
I mean, Mariah Carey was the face of this Daily Mix today, so this is a place for legends, I would say.
Okay, sure.
Wow. What an episode. You know, I kind of love having only two to talk about because I feel like we really get to like stretch our wings and dive in.
We can go long, but it's also like there's just so much in these episodes to talk about.
Yeah, yeah.
In a way, like OC this season, there was nothing.
We would spend like 6 minutes on OC.
Yeah. Atlanta, like there was some strong episodes this season, but there was a lot of nothing.
Yeah, yeah.
These two seasons just happen to be really strong, and it also is just like there's really interesting conversations that pertain to like the rest of the world in a way that we haven't seen on Housewives really a lot until now.
Yeah.
And I think that's interesting.
Yeah, for sure. And we got Potomac right around the corner. So
beep, beep.
Until then, check out comethroughqueen.com for all things Come Through Queen, links to social, join the Patreon. Pre-show, we're talking about all the books Brendan's reading, the Pose.
I'm reading.
The Pose series finale, local elections. You got it all.
Oh, yeah. Listen to what's in Eric Adams' refrigerator.
You won't believe it. So until next time, like, comment, subscribe, heart, share, retweet.
Love us, please retweet.
We'll see you next week.
Doodah.
Bye.
Bye. I wanna see ya come through, queen.
If you're looking for plump lips that last, you need to know about Juvederm lip fillers. With Juvederm Volbella XC and Juvederm Ultra XC, your lip look, whether it's subtle or bold, can last up to one full year with optimal treatment and no additional maintenance. Find a licensed specialist and see if it's right for you at Juvederm.com today. That's Juvederm.com. Add fullness to lips in adults over 21 with Juvederm Volbella XC or Juvederm Ultra XC. Do not use if you have severe allergies or a history of severe allergic reactions, or if you're allergic to lidocaine or the proteins used in Juvederm. Tell your doctor if you have a history of scarring or taking medicines that decrease the body's immune response or that can prolong bleeding. Common side effects include injection site redness, swelling, pain, tenderness, firmness, lumps, bumps, bruising, discoloration, or itching. As with all fillers, there's a rare risk of unintentional injection into a blood vessel, which can cause vision abnormalities, blindness, stroke, temporary scabs, or scarring. For full, important safety information, visit Juvederm.com.
Even when we're on a budget, we still deserve nice things. Quince is a place to scoop up stunning high-end goods for 50 to 80% less than similar brands. They have buttery soft cashmere sweaters starting at $50, luxurious Italian leather bags, and so much more. Plus, Quince only works with factories that use safe, ethical, and responsible manufacturing. Get the high-end goods you'll love without the high price tag with Quince. Go to quince.com/style for free shipping and 365-day returns.